Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So Dusty talked about Alex Bregman last night. And here is Dusty on Alex Bregman getting back to your Houston Astros.
Same for him to come in and be analyzed and see how he's doing and see what kind of, you know, how his feeling is. I'm sure he's going to want to come back as soon as possible. You know? So, we had to wait until he plays tonight.
So he's coming into the ballpark and he will be evaluated. Evaluated. That was from Mark Berman, his Twitter account. So we appreciate Mark Berman there. And then Tucker, he is also coming in to get evaluated, according to Dusty.
Tucker's should be clear to come in maybe tomorrow. And McCormick's still not available today, and hopefully he'll be better tomorrow.
What do you mean by come in? Just to be activated or just to come here and be looked at or work out?
He got to work out a few days first. And trying to decide if he's going to go on a rehab assignment or are we going to activate him. So he's got to come in and see what kind of shape he's in.
So that was about Tucker, whether or not he's going to go on a rehab assignment. You know, he's been sitting for a little while now.
Yeah, it's starting to add up a little bit. I mean, you've had pretty good play in his stead, so it's not like it's been terrible. And same thing with Aledmys Díaz, the 300 hitter in place of Alex Bregman. But every day, my dad calls with new concerns about the Astros. He is all in on it. I need to get him on Twitter so he can be Astros Twitter.
Yeah.
So he can start doing stuff like that. But he said, "Hey, let me ask you a question, Lancey. Do people have a problem with some of Dusty Baker's moves?" I said, "Well, yeah, they do." I said, "But to be fair, they have problems with AJ Hinch's moves too. I mean, it's kind of being a manager over 162 games. Yeah, I mean, right? It feels like, do people have a problem with, okay, let me play this game with you. Do people have a problem with Bo Porter's moves?"
No.
Well, no one knew.
No one saw any of Bo Porter's.
Did they have a problem with Cecil Cooper's moves?
Yeah.
Millsy?
Gar's moves, too.
Millsy's?
Yeah.
Gar's?
Yeah, Millsy, yeah.
Durker's?
Jimy's?
All of them.
Yeah.
There's literally problems with every manager's move.
Except Bo's. No one saw them.
Well, because people didn't see it. But that's the fate of a manager over 162 games. But if you take it to, okay, I know what he's talking about here. Do they have a problem with him as a manager? Is he making mistakes that other managers wouldn't make? Is there any way that he gets, that the Astros would, now he could choose to step down at his age. But is there any chance that the Astros decide to go in a different direction at the end of the season? And is Dusty making mistakes that others wouldn't make? Or is he making mistakes based on the numbers that are given to him analytics-wise?
Some
of the pinch hitting stuff has been questionable to me.
Well, it's the pitching moves that are, to me, is they're the most.
Well, those are going to
taking guys out when you shouldn't and you know, leaving, even whatever. No, he doesn't. One thing Dusty doesn't do is leave a guy in too long, except his relievers. Now he has to leave him in for three batters, and that's way too long. Sometimes it's way too long. As soon as you put Yimi in for three batters, it's a disaster.
God, what, man? Did they keep the receipt on him? Can they get him back? My wife is really good at complaining and getting things taken back. If you need, I've seen her take back milk that was had gone past the expiration date. There was like a tenth of it left. I've seen that. I'm never in any. I said, you do your thing. I'm getting out of here. If she doesn't like, she opens a watermelon and she doesn't like it, she just immediately throws it in a bag, throws it in the freezer. Like, that's going back. Okay. You know what I would do? Like, screw that watermelon pickup.
Or
I don't like the way
I'll work around the mold.
Yeah. Or how about this? Oh, I don't like the way this shirt fits, and I ordered it and it got it mailed. Guess I just lost that money.
Yeah.
My wife is returned. She will.
Oh no, I'm not.
She will not. She will return things if they are not what they're supposed to be. She will return them. I think that goes for Yimi Garcia.
You want to return Yimi Garcia?
I can put my wife on it if James Click feels uncomfortable. She can make the phone call and start the process rolling because she can be a pain in the ass on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Which I am like the other way. I'm like, hey, you know what? I butter up the customer service people because I know
because
I'm smart.
Yeah,
I'm a numbers guy and I'm smart. I know that, okay, if you act nice to someone, there's a better chance you'll get what you want. Now, the flip side of that coin is to act ugly. Sometimes the ugly actors get what they want if you have a
squeaky
really,
wheel.
Yeah, the squeaky wheel and the grease. But your squeak needs to be, like, if it's somebody who's not involved with it directly, if they're just based on customer service, sometimes they're built for that. You got to be able to read customer service. Because some customer service has, like, if it's customer service for the city,
well, but
you can forget about it.
I don't think the Marlins have a customer service department on trades.
But you don't know that for a
return
fact.
Trades. I'm pretty sure that's not that's, the case.
You can
isn't
start
that what
the
a
process.
General manager is?
Yeah.
You can inquire.
No.
Hey, we got something shipped to us from you guys. That is not,
it's not working.
It was not in. It's
not,
not working. It's not as advertised.
Right.
And we would like to get at least store credit. I'll take store credit for Yimi. You can. We'll give you back Yimi, and then we're going to get a future player from you as store credit. I take that.
I'll take that.
I take
too.
Store credit.
I'll take that too.
From
right
the Marlins.
Now. Good question here. On it is on. Well, it was by Kenny Van Dorn.
Yeah, return mate too. Yeah.
It is, should Jake Meyers start in center field when Kyle Tucker returns? Interesting question. This is interesting that in regards to sprint speed, I didn't know this, and yet the guys were talking about it on the broadcast too, that Meyers is the fastest guy on the team. He's faster actually in sprint speed than Straw.
That's what they, well, what Todd Kallis said was since Straw's gone, he's the fastest player on the team. Which is accurate, but
this,
he may.
This because actually he wasn't says on the team. He ranks ahead of him even with Straw on the
team. Yeah, he wasn't on the team when Straw was.
Yeah.
So technically they were never on the same team together. But yeah, they've got the speeds on that.
Yeah. McCormick and Meyers both have 88% expected success rate in center field. Meyers probably has a little bit more range. Both. How about this? There have only been four Astros in history that throw left and bat right. And two of them were on this team at the same time.
Well, one was, throw left and
throw
bat
left
right.
And bat right.
Lance Burke. No, Berkman was right.
Berkman was
Terry
a switch
Poole.
Hitter, too.
Yeah. Well, that's
he was
what
a
I mean.
Lefty.
He could.
Yeah.
Terry Poole throw left and bat right.
No.
When Terry Poole hit
no,
left handed.
No, it's not Terry Poole. There was some
Carl
guy
Everett?
That I don't remember. Not Carl. No. Carl Everett
did
threw
Did Everett throw right handed?
He threw right handed.
Yeah.
It was Carl. I know his first name, and I used to do some stuff with him on Sports Not Live, and I forget his last
Pavano.
Name.
Pavano.
No, not Pavano. He was a pitcher for the terrible pitcher for the Yankees. But there are four, so you're limited in where you can play the guys because they're left-handed and they're left-handed. So, but the thing is that Meyers, he is really since his first three appearances came in late game situations. Since then, the right-hander has slashed .341. 375 and 614 through 44 at bats. Now, I don't think this included his 0-for-4 last night. So his average is down since then. But he's obviously not going to be that good. But there is an argument to be made that Jake Meyers should be out there as opposed to Chaz McCormick. There is an argument to be made that, and would you want to split them?
I would make that argument. You know what? You might have stolen Jake Meyers. They talked about I think it was Julia Morales was talking about it yesterday on the broadcast. She said Jake Meyers gained 15 pounds of muscle, and there were not these expectations for him. He developed into this player, and this goes back to a conversation we had yesterday about, okay, why are the Astros minor leagues ranked so bad by Baseball America? Well, it's because they don't really have a lot of a lot of raw talent, but that's developed talent. They took Jake Myers and they developed him, and that's part of being a good minor league system is developing players. You add muscle mass, you take a frame that, that has room for more weight, you build them up, you hopefully have good bat speed or good timing or whatever the case may be for a hitter or for a pitcher. But they've developed Jake Myers, and it looks like over the last 2 years, well, certainly over this year, obviously you can't talk about last year from a minor league standpoint, but you may have stolen one. A guy with speed, some range, some power. You may have added a fast guy with some power. Why not develop him? All due respect to McCormick, he's going to be a high strikeout guy. He's going to swing from his heels. I don't mind having a fill-in guy who can also pinch hit coming off the bench who has some power. That's great. But Jake Myers right now, I'd give him a shot as an everyday starter.
Hey, just listen, 2 years ago, he was with the Fayetteville Woodpeckers.
Yeah, I remember those days. We would talk about, like, do the Peckers have anything going with them? That's what we call
them.
Yeah,
the Peckers.
Yeah, well, although they weren't. Are they Astros?
Some people call them the Woodies.
Yeah, Woodies or the Peckers. The we Peckers. Call them Peckers.
Right,
the Woodpeckers. And right. So we would say, what's up with the Peckers? Hey, and invariably,
how'd Jake do
Jake with, Myers, we would come up.
Yeah. How'd Jake do with the Peckers last night?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I remember that. So, anyway, and for him to be coming up and doing what he's doing right now, I love that. That a kid is taking advantage of he's not a kid, he's 25 years old now, and that he's taking advantage of his first opportunity. I mean, he had a long, long road to get here. He has been in the Astros organization. He's been with the team. He started in Nebraska at the Big Ten. He played in the Big Ten at Nebraska until he was 21. And then he went to, I mean, like I said, he's been with the Astros organization now for 4 years, and he gutted it out, and I love that. That's a great story. Kid is really, really now. Last night, well, notwithstanding, he sucked. So I'm not sure that you want him out there anymore. But for the most part, he's been pretty damn good. All right, 713-780-3776 is the number if you'd like to get in here. You want to talk about something uncomfortable?
Yes.
The Minnesota Vikings. Uncomfortable. We'll talk about it on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5. And GiveMeTheVIN.com is what we're talking about now. John Clay Wolf is joining us here to talk about his business. What's going on, John Clay Wolf?
I'm pulling off the airport going to California to go buy more cars.
You're buying more cars in California? Why not? I thought you hired people to do that.
It's a growth thing. I mean, we've been doing it in Houston for, 13 years. We've been doing it in LA for 8 months. So it'll take, I just got to go out there and be part of everything, get the trust built up, get everybody understanding you're going to do what you say you're going to do when you say you're going to do it, and invite them to check your reviews and look around. I got a new slogan. It's the more you check us out, the better we look.
Oh, it's like, and a lot of times, like you're in a bar, and the more you check her out, it's not the case, right?
The better she looks.
No, and a lot of times that's not the case. That's just simply not.
No.
Well, no, you have another beer or two.
I've got a question for you. On a personal note.
You what?
Like back on a personal note, like back when you were a bachelor, how old were you when you got married?
The first or second time?
First time,
I was 27.
So, like, up to 27.
Yeah.
Probably after 27, knowing you. What's the oldest woman's arms you ever woke up in? I have a feeling like you bagged a 62-year-old one night.
Well, we used to talk about John with the sexy grannies back in the day.
It happened. I mean, I couldn't help it. My neighbor, she was lonely. Not my neighbor, but my buddy's neighbor. What are you going to do? Got to help her granny out. That's all.
Was it like one of those dirty films? I mean, does this continue, or was it a one-time?
It was just a one-time thing. That's all, John Clay. Well, what about you?
I bring this up. I'm glad nobody's listening. I did have a deal one time like that. And I woke up the next day, and she left to go to work, and I was like, man, I know she's old. But she's got a great body. But I don't know how old she is. Obviously, you don't want to ask. So she left me at her house. He's got the quilted blanket and the grandkid pictures. You're like, oh, my God, what have I done? She's driving a Cadillac and not a new one. And I start digging through her stuff and found an insurance card that had her birthday on it. I had to whip out a calculator and back into the math. Man, it was scary.
Well,
I'll leave you with that.
All right. That's John Clay Wolf. So buy, sell him your card. Give me the VIN.com.
To the Bench on ESPN 97.5.
Hey, I want to tell you about on Texas Custom Patios, they got a site on the front page. It just says, if you go scroll down, and after you see all the different things that they can do for you, you'll see our full process. You click on how we help, and I think this is really important because it starts with, it takes you through the entire thing, and I've gone through it. I bought a patio from these guys. Initial visit, it tells you what to expect from your initial visit. It shows you how they do the design and what the design will look like from their CAD system. So you see exactly when I tell you that it's an exact rendering, you'll see what it looks like. They talk about the design, the pricing, the proposal you get, and they offer exact quotes. When they tell you a quote, there's no more money that's going to be added on like, well, we had this come up or this come up. Nothing. If they ever make a mistake, they eat the mistake if that ends up. If they have to do get something additional taken care of, they do that. They work with the HOA approvals and city permits so that you don't have to. The project management and completion is on point. I mean, Texas Custom Patios does amazing work, and they do it exactly how they tell you on the website. Go to tcplance.com, and you can take a look at what they did for my house before and after. tcplance.com.
The conversation continues on the Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, so cleaning the show up, Jason Lane was a lefty that threw right, that batted right, and Carl Warwick, he was the first. He was an old school Astro, and threw left and batted right. He played center field for the team back in the day, way back in the day. Used to have him on the on Sportsnet Live, and now you got two guys on the same team that throw left and bat right. It's unusual. It's highly unusual in baseball. Actually, there's a website dedicated just to that. And there are a bunch of Pop Tate, Doug Ault, Hal Breeden, Al Nixon, John Cassidy. Not a bunch of big-name guys, if you want to know the truth. Not a bunch of big-name guys that threw left and batted right. Fielders, not pitchers. 713-780-3776 is the number. So, did you see what Everson Griffin did? Everson Griffin went from the Vikings to the Cowboys and the Lions.
Now, Everson has had some emotional issues.
Yeah.
And some mental issues.
So he went mental one day and put out there on Twitter, tweeted this, at Vikings, Kirk Cousins is ass. Thank you. Ask Zimmer if he wanted Kirk. He will tell you the truth. He will tell you the truth. Who wanted Kirk Cousins? Take your guess. Everson Griffin is now back with the Minnesota Vikings. So it is, I would say, probably a bit uncomfortable, I would think, when, you know, guy tweeted out about you, you know, your quarterback, you tweeted out about your quarterback. He is ass.
Mm-hmm.
That's not. Now maybe he can go Draymond Green and Kevin Durant and say it was management's fault. It was Zimmer's fault.
When did he say? I'm trying to find what the time frame was.
It was January of this year, I believe.
That's not, you know, if that was a while ago, that'd be one thing.
Well, that's also, you mean that same team that just got done drafting Kellen Mond? And every chance Mike Zimmer, whenever they ask Zimmer, like, what do you think about this backup quarterback? He'll be like, great leader, works hard, does what's asked of him. People really just gravitate towards him. They like him a lot. Like, anything he can do to build the other guy up, to basically crap on Kirk Cousins, that's what he does. He does not like Kirk Cousins.
That was January 9th of this year.
Yeah. That's this year.
This year. So, now he's with the Vikings again. He said, I apologize to Rick Spielman. I apologize to Coach Zim. I said what I said. I take full ownership in that, but I still got to talk to Kirk and apologize to him about that. Yeah, you might.
Well,
I don't know.
You're catching a paycheck.
He's a lot bigger than Kirk Cousins. I wouldn't be scared of him if that's a. You know what I'm saying?
So he left the team for 5 games in 18 due to mental health issues. Said the team wanted to make sure my head was in it, that I'm in a good place. Of course, that's first and foremost. I think football will always take care of itself, yada, yada, yada. There's something that he says, that though, that I need Carlos Correa to listen. So if you guys know Carlos Correa, text him right now and tell him to turn on the show. Or Carlos, you're probably listening, so you don't have to text him. Carlos, I know you're listening. I'll read what he says. I left because I thought the grass was greener on the other side, to be honest, and it wasn't. Going to Dallas, going to Detroit, the grass wasn't greener. I didn't get the love that I got here with the fans, with the coaches, with the players, and the grass wasn't greener. I learned. I'm back home, and I'm happy to be home. Okay? Did you hear that, Carlos? The grass isn't greener, and you're going to be miserable wherever you go, just like George is miserable in Toronto. He doesn't know when he's playing in Buffalo. He doesn't know when he's playing in Toronto. He doesn't know when he can get out of the country because of the COVID stuff. He was locked down forever, although I don't think he was actually ever in Toronto forever, just in Buffalo for a long time until he finally got back in. So if it happened to Everson Griffin, it could happen to you, Carlos. Don't be that guy who thinks the grass is greener. Stay here.
You see?
Hometown discount, and let's keep winning.
Yep, you see?
$30 million a year for 8 years is not even really a hometown discount. You're fine. That's fine. Everything's fine. Just take it. $240 million. That's my offer, Astros. I've now made Carlos an offer. I've extended an offer to Carlos. We'll see if he'll accept it.
Let's switch it up. Rookies who opted out last season. Top 15 draft picks. Trey Lance, Ja'Marr Chase, Penei Sewell, Micah Parsons, and Rashawn Slater. All opted out. We know what Ja'Marr Chase is doing.
Chase is struggling, and so is Penei Sewell.
Penei Sewell is really struggling as well. Now, Parsons has been all over the field. He's got a Pro Football Focus grade of 91 this preseason. That's pretty good. No,
Parsons is your defensive player of the year, rookie of the year. There's no question. I mean, that dude is crazy good. Trey Lance is going to come along. I think they're going to bring him along slowly.
He struggled a little bit. Well, he struggled in his first couple of drives, but he also then he came back for a couple TDs.
Trey's talented. There's just no reason. They don't have to rush. You know, Justin Fields can play now. Trevor Lawrence can play now. There's no reason that you have to play Trevor Lawrence or Trey Lance now. And on top of that, the guy only has – he's only been a starter 1 year at an FCS level. That's it. And he's 20 years old. Like, you don't have to rush this. You really don't. You can take your time. Maybe he's turned 21 now. He's still a young guy. But he opted out. So, well, he didn't opt out. They didn't have football. Well, they had it, but in the spring. I can't count that. They had the one game. They had the one game against Arkansas State. North Dakota State did. I think it was Arkansas State. Trey Lance played in it last year. Then they went to the spring and played football in the spring. Well, he was going pro, so he didn't have time to play in the spring. Michael Parsons, 2 years college football, he's just fine. He's a linebacker. Ja'Marr Chase, though, Jamar's got some room for growth still.
It's showing, but he'll probably come around. I mean, he had, what, 6 drops and 124 targets at LSU?
Yeah.
This is unusual. This is highly unusual.
This is confidence. I mean, it's just a confidence thing right now, and it doesn't mean he's going to get it back right away because his head is – now, 2 of the drops are headed – into the middle of the field. That's a little bit of a concern. One of them, he was running into the faces of a safety. There's just no way he didn't hear footsteps. So one of them, I think, was he heard footsteps, which, you know, I get it, but he's going to have to make those catches. You know, at LSU, John, and you saw a lot of this, he was wide open a lot of times because he just, well, he even when he wasn't wide open, he's much more talented, but they had a lot of passes where he's getting down the field. In pros, and one of the things you don't know until he has to do it, how does he handle the in-breaking routes into the middle of the teeth of the defense? Does he have the courage to make those catches? How does he get open on intermediate routes? Like, there's still a lot of learning that would have happened had he played last year. He would have had some valuable reps that he didn't get. So he's still got to learn the game. I mean, it's just the way we talk about Davis Mills. He didn't opt out last year, but he's only got 11 starts for his career. Those guys haven't played as much football. They haven't. It takes more time when you haven't played as much football. Who was the other opt-out you mentioned? Trey Lance,
Michael Parsons. Rashawn Slater. He's got lower back issues.
Yeah, but he was playing well in
the
practice.
Yeah, but he's hurting. He's got lower back issues, and that's never a good thing for a guy that young.
No.
In your first year. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we got a nice announcement coming up about our college football, our football season and our guests. We got a nice guest list this NFL season that you won't want to miss. Also, we'll break down Texas A&M because we're going to be out there tomorrow. So we'll do that on the other side.
Allie LaForce is coming up here in a second.
LaForce is coming up at 9:30.
Okay.
9:30.
Right. Yeah, here, this announcement. We're super excited about our football coverage. This is a really cool announcement coming up.
Yeah. And football season is back with MyBookie. Yeah, and you can get in on the action at mybookie.ag. Promo code BET975. First-time players, you get started. You double your first deposit, giving you the firepower and excitement to the games that you love. In other words, if you put in $1,000, they're going to match that $1,000, and you have $2,000 to play with. You got college football odds boosts, NFL lock of the season, over $500,000 in contest prizes on MyBookie right now. An 18 NFL game schedule. There's more action, NFL week schedule. There's more action than ever before. You need a sportsbook casino that's reliable. You won't find a better place to play than MyBookie.ag. I know you're going to bet this season. Do the smart thing. Sign up with MyBookie.ag. Use promo code BET975 to get your first ever deposit match dollar for dollar. That's extra money credited to your account instantly just for using promo code BET975 and making your first deposit. Bet on anything, anytime, anywhere. MyBookie.ag. Promo code BET975.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hi, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So, this football season is going to be fun. This is going to be a lot of fun. We have got a nice, and we want to thank Craig Larson. He really worked on this deal for us, helped us quite a bit. Jason Barrett, with his Rolodex, that helped out quite a bit, and our producers getting the job done, getting this done for us this football season.
Do we have music or do we have sounds? We have a big announcement, so do we have?
Dun, 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 dun.
Is there a hip hop horn that we need to?
Drum roll, please.
No, that's
not it.
What about this? No, that's TMZ.
Yeah. What about Netflix?
Is that Netflix? Yeah.
Boom. Boom.
It's HBO.
Yeah. So
there it is.
There it is. There's our big.
Yeah. Okay.
There it is. So every Tuesday on the bench, from 9:15 to 9:45. Sage Rosenfels is going to be joining us. Sage Rosenfels. Now, he wanted to do Tuesday instead of Monday to break down the game because he wants to look at the All-22.
Yeah.
And he doesn't get it until, I
game
think.
Pass doesn't come out. Man, I want to say it comes out on Tuesday, but I think it comes out Monday.
Monday. He said Monday afternoon, so he wants that day to look at the All-22. So
we're going to have an expert in the field breaking this down. You know what Dan Orlovsky should be? Sage Rosenfels.
Yeah.
Dan Orlovsky wishes he was Sage Rosenfels. Who's a better backup quarterback for the Houston Texans?
Sage Rosenfels.
Without question.
Yeah.
Who's funnier?
Sage Rosenfels.
Yeah. Who's going to be better on radio?
Sage Rosenfels. So when we started doing this and seeing who we wanted to get, Sage Rosenfels was at the top of our list.
Yep.
And so for him to be coming, that was awesome. Also on Tuesdays, Howard Balzer is going to be joining the Killer Bees, Joel and Jeremy. He's a Sports Illustrated writer, NFL Hall of Fame voter, Howard Balzer. We used to have Howard on the show years ago.
Yeah,
he's really, really good. Howard knows his stuff, and that's going to be really good. Thursdays, Charlie is going to be with Phil Steele. He has been with Phil Steele for years. That's from 11:15 to 11:45.
They're never.
By the way,
break up.
Howard Balzer is on 2:15 every Tuesday with the Killer Bees, and so Charlie has a half an hour with Phil Steele starting at 11:15 on Thursdays. That's always great, great information. And Phil, by the way, gives you winners. But that's something that's kind of a big deal. On Thursdays, Phil will give you winners for this weekend. He ain't afraid to pick games for you, which is nice. Now, on Fridays, 7:30 to 8, NFL analyst and NFL Films executive producer Greg Cosell is going to join us. So we're going to have, I mean, we want to talk about breaking down some film. Sage is going to do that on Tuesdays to break down what we just saw. And how, and Greg Cosell is going to be able to look ahead for us and give us some more analysis on your Houston Texans and every other team in the league from 7:30 to 8 every Friday.
Greg Cosell's phenomenal, too. That's another guy who gets into the tape. Yeah. And we're going to talk to Greg about, I mean, we'll mention Texan stuff, obviously. We got a bunch of national stuff. Greg watches, he watches all the quarterback play. I don't know anyone who watches more tape than Greg Cosell. I legitimately don't. And I got to know Greg pretty well. I went for a couple years in a row to his mock draft they had at NFL Films before I started working for NFL. And he's as sharp as anyone out there. When I get a chance to talk to Greg, especially about quarterback play, I always do it because he's learned a lot from Jaws over the year, Ron Jaworski over the years, and I think very highly of him. I couldn't be more excited about who we have. Sage Rosenfels and Greg Cosell, yeah. Top.
No,
of the
we
food
got
chain.
It is spectacular, spectacular. So we are really, really thrilled to be gotten. Those are the two guys at the top of our list. Actually, they were at the top of the list. If you can get both of those guys, that'd be awesome. And Craig went and did that, so we appreciate that. 1:30 on Fridays. 1:30 to 1:45, CBS Sports senior writer Jerry Palm will be on with the Killer Bees. And then from 3:30 to 3:45, ESPN Daily Wager sports betting analyst Joe Fortenbaugh will be on the Wheelhouse. So all year long, we're going to help you. And we're going to have a lot of betting stuff, too.
Oh, yeah. No, we've got RJ Bell is going to be on with us every week. We're the only local show he's going to do in the market. That's who AJ's working with. So we're going to have RJ Bell, and then we're going to figure out how we're going to do our college because I'd love to get Jerry Bow on. AJ wants to come, although it's a little early for AJ, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's in Vegas. Yeah. He doesn't burn to death.
I mean, so is RJ.
Well, RJ, yeah. RJ too, but RJ's up working. AJ probably not. And then Dell is going to join us as well.
What if AJ's kickboxing or something?
Yeah. We got Dell joining us too to talk college football.
Dell is a, like, we break balls and everything on the show. Dell is, I have so much respect for his college football
knowledge. Well, I don't have any respect, but I
well,
do.
Well, okay, I acknowledge his college football knowledge.
Yeah.
Yeah, I acknowledge it.
I'm not going to respect
it. I don't respect
it,
but I acknowledge it.
I'm not going to put any respect
on it. Yeah, I don't respect his decision.
No, not his decision making. It's terrible. That is our football season coming up, and we really think it's going to be good. It's going to be fun. We're really excited here about Sage and Greg Cosell. Going to be joining us every week. So if you're looking for, you know, I think you got the best football talk right here. ESPN. When we got the NFL draft expert right here, sitting right here on every show.
Hey, guys, and numbers guy, and pitmaster, and handyman, part-time plumber, and also definitely an analytics director.
Well, I don't know you're our analytics director. So Texas A&M, we're going to be there tomorrow. And we're going to do our Texas A&M show.
Supposedly, hopefully we'll get the inside scoop on what's going on between Hayes King and Zach Calzada, the two QBs.
Oh, I think, it's going to be, I've already been thinking about, that's probably the first question we asked Jimbo. He's really put together a team that's a top five, six program in the country right now. And that is saying something. It's his fourth year there. And the question was, oh, you're giving Jimbo too much. No, you know what? A head coach, look at the difference that great head coaches make in programs. And Jimbo has made that difference here. He has turned this into the premier program in the state. You can argue that, Texas. You can argue it all you want. It is the premier program in the state right now. It has more players that are going to be, he's got first rounders on this football team. He's got first, second, and third rounders on this football team. Texas.
Isaiah Spiller in the top 100 players in college football. ESPN had a list, top 100 players in college football. I think Isaiah Spiller was 18th. There's a lot of love, as there should be.
DeMarvin Leal
for him.
Tyree Johnson. Anaya Smith. You know what? Isaiah Spiller is great. So, Anaya Smith is a beast.
So he's like Nyheim Hines for the Colts. He's like this home run hitter who can catch the ball out of the backfield, catch the ball as a wide receiver, or hit home runs. Did you see what he averages? Yards per carry? It's like around 9 yards a carry.
Yeah. He was
Anaya
ridiculous
Smith
last year.
Is a monster.
Yeah.
I'm looking right here. I'm sorry, Isaiah Spiller, 13th. Ranked 13th player in the nation, most important player in college football by ESPN. The writer is, well, it's ESPN staff. Here's what they say about him. The junior from Texas quietly emerged as one of the, and when they say Texas, they mean the state of Texas is high school. They clearly, the state of Texas, obviously Texas A&M. The junior from Texas quietly emerged as one of the best running backs in the country last year, finishing third in the SEC with 103.6 yards a game. He had 1,036 total rushing yards on 188 carries, added another 193 on 20 catches. Paired with the speedy A-chain, Devon A-chain, and Anaya Smith, look at the weapons they have. The Aggies could boast the best 1-2 punch at running back in the conference.
1-2-3.
Actually, is A-chain who I'm thinking of? I think it's Smith, but no. A-chain is averaging 8.5 yards a carry. He's pretty strong, too. He's the one that had 12 carries for 140 yards, including a 76-yarder against North Carolina. Jimbo's got what I like to call some skill position guy, or definitely some running backs. But you know who's 14 behind, just one spot behind Isaiah Spiller? Is Bijan Robinson from Texas. In the last four games of his freshman year, Robinson went off 47 rushes for 522 yards and four touchdowns. 8 catches for 129 and 2 more scores. The number 21 prospect in 2020's ESPN 300 could be a go-to for Steve Sarkisian's Longhorn offense. And then right after that is DeMarvin Leal, defensive end at Texas A&M, number 15. So the Aggies, Kenyon Green, Texas A&M, number 17. Aggies, three of the top 17 players in the nation or most important players are Aggies. We'll be there tomorrow.
He's got some talent. Jimbo's got it going on, and we'll see whether or not here's the key, is that quarterback play, and whether or not Haynes King is ready to take that over. We'll find that out. 703-780-3776, the number to hang with us. So, big ups. So we appreciate all the work the producers and Craig Larson has done to put together a good football season for us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. All right, I got a question for you on the other side. When do you brush your teeth, Lance? But
did you even answer that out loud? Or
when? I mean, yes.
Now are you?
No,
just teasing?
On the other side.
Okay. Let give me some time to think. Can I have some time to think about it?
Yeah. No. But first, let's talk about HRP. HRP.net. HRP.net. It is really amazing where this company has come from. My colleague started this thing up. He's a Coug. And all you Cougs out there, if you're looking for a payroll company and you want to support Cougs, and Mike Holly is a great Coug, loves his team, played there, and a block for Andre Ware, as a matter of fact. And he has done an unbelievable job in putting together a business that is spectacular in that it does what it says it does. It's payroll and HR. That's what it does. So all of these other companies that they say, oh, yeah, we're a payroll company. We're going to help you. We're going to help your small business alone. But here's what you got to take. You got to take our insurance. You got to take this benefits package. You got to take our 401k. And you're like, wow, this is all of a sudden pretty expensive. It used to, what? This is, what if I don't like that insurance, that insurance policy? What if I don't like that 401k policy? Well, you got to take it. Not at HRP. They give you options on that. They do HR and they do payroll, and they give you options on the other stuff, and that's awfully important. So, you're looking for that kind of company? HRP.net. 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, so here's a question, Lance. When do you brush your teeth?
Morning and night? Is that the wrong answer or right answer?
So when do you you eat breakfast? Well, you sometimes you'll have something that you bring from Starbucks in here every once in a while.
Every once in a while, yeah.
Yeah. But for most part you don't.
Right.
What about your coffee? When do you have
coffee? No, I brush them in and you have coffee. And coffee gives you funky breath. Oh, yeah, and over the weekend, yeah.
You have coffee at home over the weekend?
Yeah, uh-huh.
So do you brush your teeth?
I feel like it's a setup. I feel like you're setting me up somehow. So do I brush my teeth after coffee? No, I let somebody enjoy coffee breath. You're welcome.
That's not...
Enjoy this.
That's not...
At least I drink it with some, like, milk in it or something to cut the funk out.
So did you know, though, that you shouldn't wait until after breakfast? You should brush your teeth before breakfast. Two reasons for this.
Now, I would think common sense would tell you, you know what? Why don't you just get a breakfast in first and then brush your teeth? That's what, you know, you feel like, all right, I'm going to knock this out after I eat breakfast.
So here's why. When you're at breakfast, your mouth becomes acidic. So what you're doing when you brush your teeth after breakfast is brushing the acid into the tooth, which will wear away the enamel. Hmm. And brushing before breakfast protects your teeth from anything you're going to eat. So everybody who thinks, oh, I got to brush my teeth after I eat this garlic breakfast, you're wrong. You should walk around with garlic breath all day and offend many people along with your coffee breath. So... And everybody has garlic at breakfast, right? And this is not...
Yeah, no, not everyone has garlic at breakfast. Not everyone's Italian.
You don't make your eggs with garlic and... No? Your sausage and peppers and eggs?
No, I don't make sausage and peppers and eggs
for breakfast.
No, that's not the typical breakfast. I don't have olives and for your Greek side, I don't have olives and garlic.
Yeah.
Nobody has Kalamata olives for breakfast with garlic.
So what about your food tasting minty, though, when you're eating breakfast?
Yeah, I don't like it. You ever go...
Minty cereal. What about minty? Yeah. You ever brush your teeth and then you drink something and you're like, ew, like you can't drink lemonade after you brush your teeth. No.
Brushing your teeth and orange juice, no good.
No good.
The worst is also like milk and an apple. Apples and milk, no good together.
Apples and milk are no good together?
No. Brushing your teeth and milk, not a great look. But brushing your teeth and orange juice, I think, are the really bad one. Apples and milk together, there's something about the milk and then the acidity of the apple.
That about pasta. I like a good glass of milk with a bowl of pasta, which is dumb.
Oh, there's plenty of people that love that.
Yeah. Is there?
Yeah, that's what I grew up eating.
Really?
Anytime we had spaghetti night, it was you get a big glass of milk with it.
Okay, yeah. You like combining milk and steak?
Yeah, I'll do
that. So milk steak. You like milk
steak?
Yeah,
I like milk steak. Yeah, I actually do that. What is milk steak something? Is it?
You tell me. It was in, milk steak was in. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, so it can't be good.
No, I'm pretty sure it's not. But Jim Harbaugh does that too.
Yeah.
He orders a nice glass of milk with his steak when he's out and about.
Yeah,
which he does. I don't do that. I'll get a glass of red wine.
Yeah.
But
Harbaugh will drink milk with it. Look. As a kid, I drink milk with anything. You come in from a hot day of summer, what goes better than a cold glass of milk during a hot
cookies
summer?
Cookies and milk.
We would get Tostitos and some salsa. Well, we meaning me. Yeah. Milk, Tostitos, salsa, and I'd watch a Cubs game in the afternoon before we went back out to play because we actually played outside.
Mm-hmm.
We actually got vitamin D in our life. Hey, what's this?
That's
sun?
Why we have such strong bones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We drank a lot of milk and we played outside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's why when I fell off a ladder, I dislocated, but I didn't separate. I didn't break a clavicle. Know why?
Right.
All that milk I had when I was a kid.
No, you're right.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't even really have to brush my teeth today. I am getting a colonoscopy this afternoon.
Those are not bad.
So
you just get a good sleep in.
You get a nice sleep in.
You get a good sleep in.
Yeah.
I tried to fight it last time.
I'm hoping I don't wake up during it.
She goes, well, that was my concern. She goes, okay, we're going to start counting backwards. And I could feel it got real cold in my hand. And I'm like, I'm going to try to fight through this. See if I'm the first that can ever. I don't know why I wanted to do that. Mm-hmm. Why I'd want to be awake for that. And I'm like, but. And then the next thing I know.
It's a Thursday night for you.
Next thing I know, I hear someone talking. And I'm like, I'm awake. Because I think they're still in the middle of doing stuff. And I just, hey, put me back out. I'm awake. I hear somebody. Oh, I was in the recovery room. Already.
Yeah.
I didn't even know.
So, I'm doing that today. So I didn't even have to brush my teeth really because I haven't, It's all I drank yesterday was water and terrible broth and that terrible potion concoction they make you drink. I almost hurled, but I did get a pretty much empty. I have pretty much an empty system right now, and I can't have had anything since midnight last night. So I didn't really have to brush my teeth. So I didn't. I decided, you know what? Whatever. I'm not going to brush my teeth and see how that works out for the people that are going to be giving me my colon. You know what? You're going to do that to me. Watch what I do to you. Okay, with this breath. So that's happening today. But that was a terrible day. What I at 5 o'clock you got to drink the serum, and then you got to drink it again.
Ooh, you're doing 9. That kind?
Yeah. It was.
You didn't do the. I thought you did the Gatorade. You didn't do the Gatorade one.
Yeah. Yeah. It was
awful.
Are
you starving?
I am starving.
Yeah.
I'm kind of hungry right now.
Yeah.
I woke up and I actually went on the. We have a scale in the bathroom, and I went on there and I lost 50 pounds. I think the scale might be off. Listen. It was actually closer to 60 pounds.
How about we do this?
Okay.
We go downstairs, get you a little something from Tom and Tom's, the bulgogi pretzel. You give your doctor a little surprise.
Mm hmm. Here.
Hey! He didn't prep. Hey, who did you guys give him the prep instructions? This is terrible.
Lance, having done juice cleanses too, alongside, you know, after you clear out your body, the first thing you put in it goes straight through and comes right out of me.
Yeah.
It'll be
yeah.
out before he gets to the doctor's office. So he'll have to buy a new car.
Oh yeah, all over him. They won't appreciate that. Now I'm gonna be a good patient. So that's my day today. I'm gonna get a good sleep in. And then head up to College Station, and, you know, you get to eat. Now I'll get to eat. We're going to go to a barbecue place tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, is it? Yeah.
Yeah, we got
Brian College Station, like, Discover
in
Brian.
In Brian, yeah.
Discover Brian, the, their
they got a website?
Tourism stuff. Yeah, they're treating us great.
Yeah, no, they got us set up in the Stella Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And then Todd, they've also got us set up at a, and I can't find it in here. A barbecue place that we're going to be able to eat at. So that'll be great. That's going to be good fun for everybody. So tomorrow, A&M show right here on ESPN 97.5. And I know all you
guys. I hate you guys so very, very much.
All you Longhorns love this show tomorrow. You guys just love this show that we put together every year where we go to training camp at the Aggies and talk Aggie football. Unfortunately, I don't think that they have. I don't think that they've got the traffic guy for us this year. I don't think he's going to be on. There was no talk about the traffic guy where we talk about how we get in and out of the stadium really, really quick.
Because there is no way.
Well, yes, there is.
No, yeah.
The traffic
I know how
guy,
it is. You leave in a fourth quarter.
No, no one leaves in a fourth quarter of an Aggie game.
I'm undefeated.
Yeah, how was that Super Bowl you left?
That's, you know what? That's just more. That's a layer of the onion. I got to tell that story now. You kids, you know, the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history. Gather around. Your dad missed it because he was had to get on the media bus in the or beginning of the fourth quarter because I didn't want to, you know, get stuck at the Super Bowl in a blowout. Well, it was a blowout at the time, kind of. And then Kyle Shanahan threw on every down, and it was just like watching the Oilers and Bills again, where somehow a team came back where actually the – Falcons would have actually won the game if they had just taken a knee every snap. They would have actually won the game. Just literally take a knee or run every single play. And the Falcons would have won a Super Bowl. How about right now, Kyle Shanahan blew that Super Bowl.
Well,
he was so close to winning one as a head coach with San Francisco, and now he may never get there again.
No.
Well, he's gonna have to live with that. He's pretty talented. He's got a lot of talent.
I think he's got a shot this year.
Yeah, he's definitely got a shot.
Not sure if Granato understands what colonoscopy is. Bad breath is the least of the doctor's worries. That is true. That is true, D. All right, time for me to talk about my peeps over Chastang Ford. Those are the least of my worries is getting a Ford car or truck because I get it at the best place in the city of Houston. I know it's the best place because I know this. It's the number one commercial dealer in the city of Houston for Fords. And why is that? Is because they know, business knows that they're going to be they're going to get the best in service. They're going to get people who are going to care and take care and do and live up to their word, and they're going to get it at a great, great price. And that's what they do, because the bottom line is the bottom line as far as the business goes. You want your best deal, right? But you also want the service. You also want people that are going to live up to everything that they say. This is what they do at Chastang Ford. You'll love dealing with Patrick. You'll love dealing with Joe. I don't know that you're going to deal with them per se, but they start a philosophy at the top where it is give the person that great car at the best price possible, and let's do it and make sure that they are going to be taken care of with the best deal they can possibly get. That's happening every single day at Chastang Ford. ChastangFord.com. You can do it all online, or you get to the dealership. It's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown Chastang Ford.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.